Hello, and thanks for joining us here on Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Today we continue a teaching series called Uncommon Courage. In these lessons, Rick is going to share biblical inspiration that will help you get the courage you need to follow God's calling for your life. If you'd love to help the kids you know learn God's Word, then stay with us. Because in just a few minutes, we're going to tell you about God's Big Plans for Me, an easy-to-understand storybook Bible by Pastor Rick Warren. You can take a sneak peek right now by going to PastorRick.com while you listen to today's message. Or if you want, you can just text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. That's the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Right now, here's Pastor Rick with part two of a message called Standing Courageously for the Truth.
You are continually bombarded by the worldview of other people. As I said, you get it in classroom, you get it at business, you get it in articles, movies, songs, it's all around you. But you may have never identified actually what those worldviews are. So before we look at a Christian worldview, what God says is the truth, I want us to look at the four most popular anti-Christian worldviews. They're all around you. And maybe you've never identified them, but I want you to write these down. These aren't all there. I could give you 100 different isms, but let me give you the four most popular isms in America. The first worldview is materialism. Materialism is the worldview that what matters most is money. That is the materialism worldview. What matters most is money. That life is all about the acquisition of things. And the way you judge or measure your success is by how much wealth you've got. And if you got a lot of wealth, you're very successful. And if you have little wealth, you're not successful. These people who are materialists have bumper stickers that say, "He who dies with the most toys wins." But this is really a stupid philosophy of life. Because you didn't bring anything into the world, you're not going to take anything out of the world, and you're going to leave it all here. So you think that the purpose of your life is just to pile up a pile and then leave it? No. You were made for more than things. Now, Jesus has a very opposite opinion, and he presents a very different worldview. In Luke chapter 12, Jesus says this, "A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." In other words, your possessions don't determine how valuable you are. Your valuables don't determine your value. Your net worth doesn't determine your self-worth. The greatest things in life aren't things. But a lot of people don't understand it. And the whole business of life for many people is simply make money. That's the number one goal of life. If your number one goal in life is to make money, you are a materialist. You say, "Well, I'm not a materialist because I'm not greedy." In materialism, economics trumps everything else. It determines how I vote. It determines how I act. It determines how I think. Economics determines everything else in my life if I'm a materialist, because money matters most. Now, the second most popular anti-Christian worldview is not materialism, it's hedonism. Hedonism. And hedonism is the philosophy that whatever feels good is good. In materialism, money is God. In hedonism, pleasure is God. The whole goal of life is to be happy. The whole goal of life is to have fun. The whole goal of life is to be comfortable. The whole goal of life is to party, to have thrills. And what matters most to the hedonist is how I feel. If it feels good, then it is good. It's got to be good because it feels good. And the number one goal of life is comfort. Now, hedonism can be anything. It could be involve food. It could involve sex. It could involve sports. It could involve a hobby, alcohol, it could involve drugs. Things could be good or bad. Many of these things are good, but they're not the goal of life. If you say, my number one goal in life is to be happy, you're a hedonist. God did not put you on this earth for your number one goal to be happiness. Happiness is a byproduct of living the purpose you were created for. It is not the goal of life. It's the benefit of life for doing the right things. Holiness creates happiness. Now, a lot of songs today, popular songs, are really hedonism. I mean, when you hear a song that says, it can't be wrong because it feels so right. That's hedonism. When I was growing up as a kid, there was a song that said, if loving you is wrong, I don't want to be right. Hedonist. Okay? In other words, I don't want to do the right thing. I want to do the thing that feels good. And if it feels good, do it. That's the motto of the hedonist. Now, you can be a hedonist and not even know it. You can be a Christian and be a hedonist. If your number one goal in life is to make life comfortable, you're a hedonist. If your number one goal in life is happiness, you're a hedonist. If your number one goal in life is retirement, you're a hedonist. Because God did not put you on this earth to do nothing. Now, there's nothing wrong with retirement. It's just not the goal of life. You were made for so much more than pleasure. You were made for so much more than happiness. You were made for so much more than thrills or fun or anything else. And just because something is fun and just because something is pleasurable doesn't make it right. Now, the Bible says this in Proverbs 21. Solomon wrote this. He was the wisest man who ever lived. He's also the wealthiest man who ever lived. And he concluded, are you addicted to thrills? What an empty life. The pursuit of pleasure is never satisfied. Why? Because for the hedonist, like for the materialist, there's never enough. You ask a person, how much money do you need to be happy? Just a little bit more. How many pleasures, how many thrills do you have to be happy? Just a little bit more. Why? Because pleasure doesn't last. No thrill lasts. No happiness lasts. No emotion lasts. Whether it's good or bad, it doesn't last. Now, in Hebrews chapter 25, it's up here on the screen, the Bible says, Moses chose to suffer with God's people rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. Circle the phrase pleasures of sin and circle short time. The thing I love about the Bible is it always tells the truth. It's honest. And the Bible says sin is fun. Notice it says pleasure of sin. Sin is pleasurable. If sin wasn't fun, nobody'd do it. Okay? Okay. Even the Bible admits it. Sin is fun. Is it fun to eat things that are bad for you? Yes. Absolutely. Okay? Is it fun to stay up really late, even though you got to get up early the next morning, you're going to be dead? Yes. There's a lot of things in life that aren't good for you, and they're a whole lot of fun. Or they're a whole lot pleasurable. The Bible says there is pleasure in sin, but it says, notice, it doesn't last. It's for a short time. And with every kick, there's a kickback. There's always a payoff. And the cost of sin is far greater than the pleasure of sin. Sin is fun, there's no doubt about it. But the cost of it could be your own soul. And the cost of it could be a broken body, a broken mind, a broken heart, a broken relationship. There's always a cost to sin. Galatians 6:8 on the screen says this, those who live only to satisfy their own sinful desires, that's hedonism, will harvest the consequences of decay and death. But those who live to please the Spirit will harvest everlasting life from the Spirit. In Exodus 23, verse 2, there on your outline, do not follow the crowd in doing wrong. But girls just want to have fun. Yeah, there's nothing wrong with having fun. Do not follow the crowd in doing wrong. It may be fun, but it might not be right. Now, there's a third anti-Christian worldview, and it is individualism. Materialism, hedonism, individualism. And individualism says, what I want comes first. Materialism says money is God. Hedonism says happiness is God. Individualism says, I'm God. And it really doesn't matter what happens to you. This is a dog-eat-dog world. I got to look out for number one. I'm number one. And it is a me-first mentality. What I want comes first. It is a self-centered lifestyle. America was built on rugged individualism. I do what I want to do when I want to do it, and nobody can tell me not to do it. And today that has evolved into the culture of narcissism. Maybe you haven't realized this, but every advertisement ever created appeals to your self-centeredness. We do it all for you. Have it your way. You deserve a break today. It's all about you. You're great. It's think of yourself. It's all about you. In fact, they're even naming products. Now, we now have the iPhone. And then I work on my iPad. And I post a video of me on YouTube. And who's the you? Me. It's a place to show off. And we actually are creating tools that cultivate our narcissism, that it's all about you. I saw a Mountain Dew ad the other day, and it said, obey your thirst. Hedonism. Most people don't realize that. That's flat out hedonism. Do whatever you have the urge to do. Doesn't matter if it's right or wrong. You must obey your thirst. If it feels good, do it. If it makes you richer, do it. If it's all about you, you do it. But here's the issue. God didn't create you to live for you. Oh, really? You think the creator of the universe thought you up so you could live a little self-centered, selfish, egotistic clod of a life that it's all about me? I don't think so. You were made for something far, far bigger than yourself. If you just live for yourself, why even get out of bed in the morning? Just mail it in. Really? Okay, I mean, just stay in bed under the covers and pull up the sheets because it's all about you. That's why when I wrote Purpose Driven Life and the opening sentence was, it's not about you. That is the most counterculture statement you can make today, because everything in our culture says, are you kidding me? It's all about you. Everything is about you, because the worldview of individualism, what I want comes first. And so, if I'm married to you and you're hindering my career, bye-bye, sister. I got to do what I got to do. And if I've got an elderly parent to take care of and my elderly parent is cramping my style, bye-bye, parent. And I have no responsibility because it's all about me. And if I want to go through a series of one-night stands, too bad. It doesn't matter if it breaks your heart. It's all about me. That is individualism at its height. Now, the Bible says this, Christian worldview, Proverbs 18:1, it is selfish and it's stupid to think only of yourself. In fact, God sent Jesus Christ not just to save us from our sins, but also to model how to live. And in Philippians 2, it says this, each of you should look not only to your own interest, that's counterculture, but also to the interests of others. Most people aren't doing that. Your attitude should be the same as that of Jesus Christ. See, Jesus said, if you want to follow me, you got to put aside your selfish ambition. You got to deny yourself. What? Yeah, you got to deny yourself. What? In our society, that's two words you never hear, deny yourself. Actualize yourself, serve yourself, love yourself, take care of yourself, live for yourself. Nobody in our culture is saying what Jesus said, deny yourself. And yet Jesus taught us that God designed us for love, and love is not thinking of yourself. Love is giving yourself away. And Jesus said it is only in giving yourself away you'll ever know what it means to really, really live. Paul said, clothe yourselves in the Lord Jesus Christ and forget about satisfying your own selfish desires. In fact, over and over in the Bible, God warns about me living a self-centered life. The Bible says this in Romans 2:8, for those who are self-seeking and who reject the truth. In other words, I know what the Bible says. The Bible says do this, but I don't like that part. It crimps my style. So I'm going to do this. I'm going to be self-seeking, and I'm going to reject the truth. I know God says to do this, and I know God says don't do that, but I'm going to go ahead and do it anyway. For those who are self-seeking, who reject the truth and follow evil, there will be wrath and anger. Why? Why does it tick off God when I'm self-centered? Why does it make God mad when I live for myself? Well, because number one, he didn't make you for that reason. But the real reason is the reason God opposes self-centered living is because God is love. And the Bible says love is not selfish. God wants you to be a great lover, not a great self-centered person. And the Bible says love is not selfish. When I'm sitting on the couch relaxing, reading the paper and watching TV, and I see that Kay needs help, and I decide to keep quiet instead of helping her, that's called being selfish. At that moment, I am being unloving, because love is never selfish. When somebody asks for your help, you say, sorry, I don't have time to do it. Love is never selfish.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. We're so happy that you've chosen to study along with us today. Now, if you'd like to receive Rick's free daily devotional, go to PastorRick.com and sign up right now. Rick will be back to close out our time today, but first, the Bible says children are a gift from the Lord. Do you have kids, grandkids, nieces, nephews, or kids in your neighborhood that need to know God loves them and has a good plan for their lives? You can help them get closer to God by encouraging them to read God's Word. That's why we're so excited to tell you about a very special resource just for kids called God's Big Plans for Me. It's a storybook Bible by Pastor Rick Warren. This 223-page hardcover children's book includes 40 well-loved Bible stories to help kids engage with God's Word. Each Bible story has an introduction from Pastor Rick that helps young readers understand the Word of God, and a closing thought with a practical step boys and girls can take to discover God's big plans for them. Their eyes will light up as they turn the beautifully illustrated pages and really start to get what God wants to say to their young hearts and minds. God's Big Plans for Me is so much more than just a book filled with cute pictures of Bible characters. It's a fun and effective way to introduce children to God's everlasting truth. This book makes a great gift. You'll want to get a copy for every child in your life. And today, when you give a gift to help Pastor Rick's Daily Hope take the certain hope of Jesus Christ around the world, we'll send you a copy of God's Big Plans for Me Storybook Bible to say thanks. To get your copy of this great resource, just go to PastorRick.com or text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. That's PastorRick.com or the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Here's Pastor Rick with a letter from one of our listeners.
I want to say thanks to all of you who are supporting Daily Hope Ministry with your financial gifts and with your prayers. I know you appreciate these notes that I get from people around the world as much as I do. Let me just share one with you from a woman named Anna, who is an elementary school principal, and she just wrote this. Dear Pastor Rick, I became a principal in an elementary school at the age of 25. I'm now 42. Now, we've had Rick Warren Bible series and studies at our church during the summers, and I always enjoyed them so much, and I've invited many friends and relatives to visit our church. A couple years ago, I began to share your devotion, Daily Hope, with all of my staff members each morning. See, she's a principal. She's sharing this with her staff. She said, I've seen their growth in God. I've seen the transformation in their lives and characters over these past years, and I'm amazed at the Lord's love and mercy. Now, it doesn't mean that we haven't struggled with issues such as death and depression and disappointments and illness, things like that. However, we have had our eyes on God during all of the things that have come against us. And this has made a difference. I pray with them during our staff meetings to give thanks. So, Pastor Rick, I just want to thank you for following God's calling, even though you go through struggles and life problems just like we all do. God is with you.
May the Lord continue to bless you and your beautiful family. May he continue to bless you with wisdom and discernment so that you're able to share your gift with all of us. Blessings, Anna. Well, Anna, God bless you. Thanks for writing. I love getting these letters, and you actually encouraged me. And I love the fact that as a principal, you're sharing the broadcast and you're sharing the devotionals with your staff. This makes you a partner in this ministry. And I thank you for doing that. And I want to encourage everybody else who's listening, find somebody that you could share the good news with. Tell them about Daily Hope. God bless you.
If you'd like to let Rick know how this broadcast has blessed your life, please write him at rick@pastorrick.com. That's rick@pastorrick.com. Be sure to join us next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.